Travis is trying to turn me off, but that don't work on me. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you're visiting with us, I want you to feel welcome, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. Where if you make your way to the front and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. I want to read one verse for the thought of our study tonight from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. These were the potters of those who dwelled at Nadim and Gedera. There they dwelt with the king for his work. I want you to look at the last part of that verse where the divine revelation says, they dwelt with the king. In this reading, we find that this time the Jews living under the United Kingdom, under Saul, who reigned for 40 years. And it states that they dwelt with the king. So from this, we shall study a topic I think that's needed in talking about dwelling with the king. Dwelling with the king means to live under his protection or his fellowship. It means being a citizen of his kingdom. You can look over in England and he may have a king who's reigning as a monarch. And it means that you are under his protection. It means that you have fellowship with him and that you are a citizen of his kingdom. But this is true spiritually. We have an opportunity to dwell or have fellowship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And it's a great honor to know that we can be citizens of his kingdom, that we can have fellowship with him, and that we can be under his protection. But today, many have that opportunity of dwelling with the King of Kings, but they make an excuse not to. And I think what a shame it is for people to have an opportunity to dwell with the king and choose not to do so. So we'll find out, first of all in our study, who the king is, and then we'll talk about why some do not dwell with the king. And thirdly, we'll talk about how to dwell with the king and the blessings that we receive from doing so. First of all, when I talk about the King of Kings, I'm not talking about any political leader today. I'm talking about spiritually. And I first want us to notice the prophecy concerning the King of Kings. If you take your Bible and look in the book of Isaiah and the 9th chapter, you remember there was a prophecy made by Isaiah about the child who was born. And he says unto us in verse 6, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So from the pen of the prophet Isaiah, he describes the one that the government would be upon his shoulders. In other words, he would be the king. Then if you take your Bible, look in the prophet of Daniel. And notice that Daniel prophesies about the kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, Daniel says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be not left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Thus far we've recognized two things. We recognize that Christ was prophesied about and his kingdom was prophesied about. Isaiah says the governments will be up on his shoulder. He will be the king. And that his kingdom will last for eternity. It's not some political kingdom or dynasty that may rise and fall, but that his kingdom is one that is everlasting. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to know something else. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke and the first chapter. To have a kingdom, you must have a king. And notice what the Bible says about the king. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 31, the angel is speaking at this time to Mary and says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, notice he says he shall be given the throne of David. That's not talking about Israel in the sense of physical Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel. He's talking about spiritually. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. He's an everlasting king. And notice all this points to the coming of a kingdom and a king. But who? Well, if you look in the book of Matthew in the third chapter, we recognize it's not in the days of John the Baptist, because they questioned John and asked John in John 3 and John 4 as well, "Are you he?" And he says, "I am not he, but the one who's coming after me. He, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal." So John the Baptist is not the king. Now we read where this prophecy is fulfilled. So who is the king? Well, it's not in the days of Jesus' personal ministry in the book of Mark in the 9th chapter. Jesus at that time was not king. They wanted to make him king by force in John 6. But he did not come to reign as king of Israel for a period. He came to establish an eternal kingdom. So now take your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. After they had crucified Jesus, he established his eternal kingdom. And notice what is said in verse 30. In verse 30, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ, watch it, to sit on his throne. You know what Peter is saying? You've killed him, God raised him, and God has seated him as the king. Then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter, drop down to verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. This Jesus, what has he done? Raised him. He's already been raised. Now Christ is the king. Where is he? Look at verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Where is he at? At the right hand of the Father, reigning as king. So Christ is the king. He's now reigning over his kingdom, and we have the opportunity to dwell with him now. Spiritually, we can be in the kingdom now. We don't have to wait. We can be in the kingdom right here, right now. But that brings up the second thought in our study. How can I dwell with the king? And there are some things that one must do in order to dwell with the king. There are also some things that will keep one from dwelling with the king. If you take your Bible and look in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, you'll remember that your iniquities and sins will separate you from the king. That if you are in violation of the law that the king has given, that will separate you and you will not have fellowship with the king. So I recognize if I fail to dwell with the king, it's not the king's fault, but mine. It's my sins, my iniquities that separate me from being a part of the kingdom. So the transgressions must be removed. If you turn in your Bible to 2 John, you'll remember that John deals with this. In 2 John, notice what he says in verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So this keeps one from dwelling with the king when they do not follow God's word, when they go beyond God's word, or fall short of God's word. Notice they are without God and without Christ. And tonight many think they're dwelling with the king when they transgress his words. But they must remove the disagreement with the king. Open your Bible to Amos chapter 3 for just a moment. And when you come to the little prophecy of Amos chapter 3, look at verse 3. In verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So how can I walk with the king if I do not agree with him? I have to remove everything that keeps me from being a citizen of the kingdom. And it's all on my part to get rid of that. Now, I can only do it through the grace of God. I can only do it by being reconciled to the king. And I must come to the king and agree with his terms. So that brings up a third thought in our study. And I want you to think about it. If the king has put down certain laws, I go by it. I follow the king. What happens with a lot of people is they don't want to follow the king's law. But to dwell with the king, you must follow the king. Well, how do I do that? How do I dwell with the king? Now, we've noticed some things that keeps one from dwelling with the king. Now, let us notice some things that one must do to dwell with him. What is required so that I may dwell with the king? Well, first, I must be in his kingdom. No one can dwell with the king and be outside of his kingdom. It's just impossible. If you're going to be a part of the kingdom, you have to be a citizen of the kingdom to have fellowship with the king. And you know what the kingdom is in Christ? It's just not his law and his rule, even though that's part of it, but the church. Open your Bible, if you will, to Matthew 16. And remember in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Then take your New Testament and turn to the Colossian letter and the first chapter. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the, watch it, kingdom of the Son of His love. That means that I am following Christ. I'm a part of His kingdom. Then go back, if you will, to the book of Acts and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 8th chapter, notice, if you will, kindly what the writer of God has to say in verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. You know, many say Christ is with them, but they're not a member of His body. That's impossible. You have to be in the kingdom to have fellowship with the King. And how does one enter the kingdom? Look at what it said again in verse 12. Those that wanted to concern the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women, were baptized. Have you ever thought that's what John says in John 3 and 5? That you must be born again? You agree to the terms of the king by simply obeying his word. Now tonight, are you in the kingdom and do you dwell with the king? But that brings up one last thought and the lesson will be yours. We dwell with the king in scriptural worship. Open your Bible and notice in Matthew 18:20 that the divine word says, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. Jesus said he would be with them on the condition of John 4:24. What? That they worship God in spirit and in truth. What worship did Christ put into his kingdom? Well, we find in Acts 2 and verse 42 that they were teaching. You know why we have preaching and teaching on the Lord's Day? We find a New Testament example where that was approved of God. That they expected teaching and preaching from God's Word to edify, uplift, encourage, rebuke, exhort, to do all those things needed so that one will be sure they're walking with the King. Secondly, we take the Lord's Supper. And we have an example of that in Luke 22:30, where the Lord Himself gave of the bread and gave of the fruit of the vine. And He said, You take and do this in remembrance of Me. And we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Why? So that they could remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the fact that He's coming again. And there's prayer in the kingdom. We're to pray to the King. Where do we find an example of that? Jesus gave us that example in Matthew 6. When He said, When you pray, pray thus. But then I'll tell you, we're to sing. We sing unto the Lord in His kingdom. Why? We have a direct command in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts. We must sing the way the King commands. And we give upon the first day of the week. Do you realize that's an act of worship? That's not just a miscellaneous thing. That is worship to God. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, He said, Let each one of you lay and buy in store as he's been prospering. And when's he to do it? Upon the first day of the week. And when we give to the king to dwell with him. And many failed to dwell with the king because they failed to worship according to his will. He's the king. He has the right to instruct us how to worship. Others fail because they miss the worship service and the services of the kingdom. And they wonder how they can find excuses not to be with the king. Oh, I tell you, you think of a president that you respect. And let's say that president invited you to lunch. Would you make an excuse not to go if you respect him? I'll tell you, we need to respect the office. Peter tells us that. Honor the king. And I'll tell you something we've got to think about in our day. It's a shame that Jesus has done so much for us as our king, and yet people don't want to be a citizen. When I dwell with the king, I walk with him. I have forgiveness of sin, Acts 2:38. I have the promise of eternal life, 1 John 2:25. But I can only dwell with the king if I let him in. Notice the Revelation letter at the third chapter as we bring the lesson to a close. In Revelation chapter 3, notice the statement made in verse 20. In verse 20, behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He knocks. I must open. I can't dwell with the king unless I live with him. Look in Revelation 14, 13 as we bring this to a close. In Revelation 14, 13, look at what the writer says. I heard a voice from heaven say to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Ultimately, we want to dwell eternally with the King. If you're here tonight and you've never put on Christ, or you need to be restored to Christ, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.